Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
42-38 here on the Windy City Podcast, presented by FanSided. Alex Shapiro, Kenneth Davis, talking about the Bears traveling to Santa Clara, California, to face the San Francisco 49ers for the Sunday night game on NBC. A game of tit for tat for the most at-bats. And the Bears came up short in what looked like a chance to run off the field with a victory, clock dwindling down, getting enough time off the clock to perhaps not leave enough time for San Francisco, who was able to pretty much do whatever they wanted to do. Brock Purdy with another 5-touchdown game. Alex will victory lap me talking about Brock Purdy. I still won't take back what I said. If you get the spirit of what I meant about Brock Purdy, it's definitely not that he's bad. It's just that I wouldn't want to pay him.
I'll take the victory lap. I'll take the victory lap in a few weeks, potentially, because the 49ers are one win away from just.
Oh, they're not winning.
Just
the Super
playing
Bowl.
Just playing in San Francisco the rest of the year.
Yeah, they're not winning. Winning the Super Bowl. I mean, if you really look at it, the other two teams in the NFC West are better than they are on both sides of the ball, or particularly defensively, is what I should say. Yeah. They're better than them defensively, and depending on if George Kittle is healthy, they're better than them when it comes to having more than just a running back. And Tongs did a phenomenal job.
Tongs.
I remember when Tongs was here. Tongs did a phenomenal job. Again, a great game by Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh. I don't know if I said Staley was the defensive coordinator. We talked the pre-show. Confusing one of their other past defensive coordinators that went on to be the Chargers head coach before Jim Harbaugh took the job. But Robert Saleh, after getting dismissed, of course, by the Jets, coming back to San Francisco with a beat-up defense. When you look at Warner being out and you look at Bosa being out, what Bethune has been able to do.
So, listen.
Definitely a barometer. We found out that offensively, I mean, they got 38 points. All right. Like, if we're going to look on the best part of it, they were able to keep scoring with a team that was able to just score at will almost on them. And usually in the past, this game probably would have been like 28-42, if that.
This game would have been 55-16.
You're probably right.
Because there would have been like 6 Bears 3-and-outs and a couple of takeaways that led to easy 49ers points.
And even with the 3-and-outs, particularly early, you didn't feel like they were out of it. But then you saw them being able to kind of figure out, kind of like a boxer, kind of like Floyd in the first couple of rounds, where it was like, you better get him because he's getting the distance together or whatever.
Right.
Caleb had a good game this game. Caleb was 25-42 for 330 yards, 2 TDs, and a passer rating of 100. Just on the flip side, to give Brock Purdy his pops, 24-35 for 303 yards, 3 TDs, 1 interception for a passer rating of 118. But he also had 2 rushing touchdowns to go along with that. Caleb
just juking every Bears defender out of their shoes.
Oh, yeah, nasty
goodness. The dances he was doing in the backfield, the reads the pulls and the reeds.
We're going to have to talk
sweat on skates doing the reeds.
Not the Tiz effect. We're going to have some discussions about age at one point on this team's defense. With some of the things that we've talked about with next year, age is going to have to come into the forefront of when is Father Time going to hit. And it's not necessarily let players go, but what players can necessarily do. But I want to get to the last play of the game and your thoughts, Alex. Caleb Williams, I think the first guy you had to throw the ball to was DeAndre Swift.
Yep. It looked like he was kind of not looking his way and that maybe he was his check down. I watched the play a few times. I agree with you entirely. If he checks down and gets the ball to Swift right away, I mean, right away, he's got a chance to score. So I agree with you there. But after that, after he misses that moment, because it looks like he kind of looks off right as Swift starts to look for the ball. There's maybe an opportunity for Colson Loveland.
Maybe.
But there's an opportunity for Jahdae Walker. But hats off to the 49ers for defending for the first time all game.
Once he ran in that back corner, it was like, oh, so the game's over right now, right?
Mm. Except Caleb Williams has pulled crazier rabbits out of his hat.
Yeah, but you knew again. And he has in this situation, but condensed field, the rhythm is off. The thing was that he had a predetermined spin basically out of that play, and this is the problem with having a quarterback that can do freaky things, where he's like, I'm going to go into the phone booth. And it was like, wait, no, Superman. We don't need you to go into the phone booth. We need you to just report on it. Then, like, it's like he did the spin move. And the thing about DeAndre Swift, so even if DeAndre Swift doesn't have a clean entry until the end zone, he had one man to beat that was going to be there to get him, and we've seen DeAndre Swift be shifty enough to beat that man or perhaps have enough power to push that defender in, depending on how close he was into entering into the end zone.
And this guy was like running from across the middle of the field.
That was the thing. That's where he would have had the advantage of his shiftiness to, a stop. Oh, and again, this is us sitting at home, but it's facts. Again, it's not a knock. This isn't like a Caleb. This is the growing stages. But this, I won't say it was frustrating because like this was the game. And this is why Alex on the preview show, when we were talking, I was like looking over this game. No, because this was the problem with the 49ers. And we talked about Christian McCaffrey being able to basically do this, right? I mean, he rushed and I know he had lost yards, but for the first time in his career, he rushed for 100 yards in the first half. I would have never thought Christian McCaffrey hadn't rushed for 100 yards in the first half.
He had 100 yards in the first half?
Yes. And then he lost like 3 yards after getting it. But as prolific as career has been, I would have thought he'd done that at least once or twice in the past or whatever. But the fact that Christian McCaffrey was able to do whatever he likes, and I want to say this too. The thing, Christian McCaffrey is fast, shifty, and powerful, and well-skilled. But what he does with the know-how, like the way he sticks in his blocker's back pocket, making it harder for who's ever trying to tackle him to, one, get him and allowing him the ability to go off of left, right, but also when he hits the hole, the angle that he is already taking, he's not hitting the hole. Now, sometimes you have to flush. He's hitting it at an angle which makes a shorter space longer when it comes to the defender trying to get to him. There were some runs, if you go back and you look at how wide he was coming out of the hole, it was making it so much difficult for the DB or linebacker, and that's just what that's just smart. Outside of being shifty and fast, the stuff that he does aids him too. And it would be better to watch if he wasn't playing the team that I have an affinity for. But man, that to see them go up and down the field and the Bears to be able to do little was frustrating. But again, Caleb had a good game. Luther Burden
coming out party. New career high for Luther Burden. His previous high was like 101 yards or something. 138 yards for Luther Burden. Career high. Looks like he got hurt that last play of the game.
Yes, it did. Yes, that's
so that's going to be something we're going to have to monitor, because what a blow that would be. This team has already been playing without Roma Dunze, who just cannot.
And without Luther some games.
And without, yes, he's missed some time too. But, you know,
yeah.
DJ Moore, ill. Roma Dunze still nursing the foot. Luther Burden just.
And he
really stepped up when this team absolutely needed him, and they're going to need more of him as these games get more and more serious as December turns to January. So if he misses time, that will be a big blow to this Bears offense, because he is coming on right exactly when this team needs him.
Speed and quickness is a gear that I don't even know if we've seen the fastest gear from him in that. Because there was one. It was the first one. He did the shifty stuff later. But there was one time he, on the right side, turned and went up the sideline. And on my television screen, how fast those pixels were moving. I was like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? Like that it was the acceleration that he had after that. Man, he stepped up. Colson had a good game. Both of them had costly drops. Colson Loveland, 10 targets, 6 receptions, 94 yards, 1 TD. Luther Burden with 1 TD. Both almost with the same long, 35 and 36. Burden for 35. 36 for Colston Loveland. Burden also 9 targets for 8 receptions. 8 receptions. He only had that one drop. Think about that. One costly drop. Man, both of those players played. So Colston to be able to get that catch to convert that fourth down when they needed it. I mean, your thoughts on the last series? They were in a situation where they couldn't really run the ball because of the clock situation and the timeouts, even though that's benefited them. But, man, to come down to this game right here against the 49ers and almost be able to have the same magic that you've had all year. You, prior to us coming on, was like, this team is different. So right there, Alex, what were you specifically saying before we came on when you meant that this team was different?
I mean, when's the last time you saw the Chicago Bears go toe-to-toe with, I think, a legit playoff contender? Like, yes, you could argue that the Seahawks, the Rams are maybe more complete. That NFC West is so good, though. And, like, the Niners are good, and Kyle Shanahan showed you why he is still a masterclass offensive play caller, offensive play designer. I mean, he had the Bears in absolute hell in that game. Like, Christian McCaffrey is a phenomenal player, but the motions, the window dressing, the blocking schemes, like
Kyle stuff Shanahan they see in practice,
deeply in his bag. He was deeply in his bag today.
The stuff they see. I mean, again, I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but that the thing was the master and the pattern. Well, they weren't going head to head, but you saw the master say, "Let me show you."
Yeah.
So
this is a legit team, and this was like a legit playoff atmosphere type game. The Bears had everything to play for. Number one seed on the line. The 49ers also have everything to play for. Number one seed on the line. And again, like, this just didn't feel like a game that the Bears would even be have a hope of participating in the past, even in the same scenario, even if the Bears like were playing for a one seed, just the way the Niners were executing on offense. Like, it's another kind of growth point, development point for this team as this year has gone on, because for so long it was the defense carrying the offense, and the offense was sputtering and the offense couldn't figure it out. I mean, even the Packers game, you know, the offense was struggling until like the very end. This time, okay, the Bears are struggling early on, but they figured it out really quickly, and then they were clicking.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams just continues to blow me away, to be quite honest. And I know we have gushed a lot about Caleb Williams on this podcast, but the throws that this dude makes, and yes, I know he is missing some, he's missing some layups and he's missing some throws that you would expect him to hit. But you watch quarterback play across the league, like everybody misses throws. Nobody is 100. Nobody is hitting 40 of 40 passes. Nobody's hitting 38 of 40 passes. Nobody's hitting 35 of 40. You know what I mean? Like 70% completion percentages is what we're going for here. That is the standard. So does he miss throws? Yes. But I think it's a little nitpicky when he does, I mean, just outrageous throws. The throw to Colson Loveland, you mentioned the fourth down throw. Good throw. The throw to Colson Loveland, the little kind of like up and out, not even the free play. We'll get to the free play.
I'll save that.
The up and out earlier.
Okay.
The up and out where Colson Loveland kind of goes in, and it's like a bit of a double move. He just, it's a dot. It's perfect. It's like a truly perfect throw. And then, yeah, I'll let you take it. Hard count, man. Like, how many times have Bears fans seen Aaron Rodgers take advantage of the hard count? And the Bears never manage to do the hard count. So I'll let you take it from there, because the hard count is a weapon.
With the hard count, he gets the D to jump. Free play, as we've ranted about on here. If you also an old under center discussion, because I've been talking about the lack of free play threats that a lot of NFL teams, but the Bears specifically, didn't do in the past. The thing is also, because the refs, this is the thing too with the free play. When the refs know you'll take advantage of it, they won't blow the whistle on your ass, right? Because it kind of stalled, right? And they let it go. And then the fact that he had the composure not to rush. See, that's the thing too, where you're like, oh my God, I got the free play. I got to get rid of the ball. He's like, wait, the pressure isn't coming. Let me wait till he zags, talking about Colston, and zags back and then hits him for the TD for the free play. And that's where, again, Matt slightly over the premeditated spin move at the last play. Slightly. That's when you get nitpicky with your quarterback when he's doing that well and in his second year, and you can be like, ah, you've done all this magic. I want this too, right? But to sit there and slow down on the free play, right, and say, I'm not going to rush this. I'm going to wait. And to nail the guy and to show the growth and maturity and how he's managing this NFL team. I mean, man, listen, that he's the reason they were in this game for the most part. And he's the reason why last episode when I asked you 2018, 2025, which team is better, and the consensus between us both was this team because of him. And, I mean, clearly the defenses aren't the same outside of turnovers when we're talking about pressure and what Vic Fangio was doing with the players he had. And he had a better front seven than this front seven when you go back and look at the front seven that they had back then. But again, nitpicky as hell.
Dude, we didn't even talk about the arm talent, the Luther Burden touchdown. He's standing on the 45-yard line, doesn't even take a step, flat-footed, barely gets any forward momentum. Dude, a flick of the wrist.
And you knew it.
Flick of the wrist.
I was like, he got this, Alex.
Touchdown. Like,
I said,
that arm talent is absurd. That arm talent is crazy.
Dude, you saw it. And I said to after, I'm like, when just from how Burden's body was going, I said, oh, he has that. Because the lean, it was just going to be a drop. That was the only thing that he couldn't. But like you said, the flick of the wrist to be able to pull it off. I mean, dude, he went in a shootout with one of the best offenses, with one of the better quarterbacks in the league, all right, who put up five. Dog, Brock Purdy put up five TDs against him. All right. Five TDs
and two Duggies.
And he would dunk, and he was right there, two Duggies, and they were terrible. It was soulless. But he was still there staring him down. This young quarterback getting a lesson from the seasoned quarterback. You know what I'm saying? On how to exploit maneuvering the pocket and taking advantage. Because it was one thing, and I will say that what's his name? Collinsworth mentioned was Caleb. Go back to the Ravens game and go back to who was it after the Ravens game that they played? They played, I think it was the Giants. Was it, was Jackson Dart the next game, or was it two games later?
Or was it the Bengals, or was the Bengals right before?
I think the Bengals were after, I feel like. It was the Bengals right after. All right. And the reason that I bring it up was how the Bears were exploited from quarterbacks running up between the guards at that point. Mm-hmm. And one thing that Collinsworth pointed out was Caleb right now likes to run out the back, basically. All right. And sometimes he runs up, but he usually doesn't run through the guards. And that provides the defense an added ability because they don't have to expect, particularly if you're the linebackers up the middle, for him to sit there. And if they're playing man to man, he can run up their backside, basically, like we saw Huntley do. And we saw like Dart do. And if we saw a couple of the quarterbacks, there were somewhat
a little bit.
Yeah. Malik Willis definitely did. And that part where he has to grow and taking advantage of his speed, because right now his speed is only used on the outside compared to what he can do if there are draw. And now I don't mean it like it's a real draw as much as it looks like that because the guys are bailing on him and maybe no one is spying on him when it comes to the linebackers or whatever. But again, to sit there and to take this game with neither defense is playing well, but the Bears defense definitely showed their vulnerabilities from everything that we talked about with pressure. But also there was some age there, but I don't want to jump into the defense just yet. Was there anything else offensively that that stuck out to you you want to go over?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised with the run-pass split, especially early. You know, I don't have the legit numbers in front of me right now, but it felt like by the time the Bears had run the ball 10 times or 15 times, they'd already thrown it 25 times. And I think we saw that a few times. The first drive where they get eight and then don't run it a couple times. There was another opportunity they got in the, I think, goal to go situation, and they just didn't run the football. Where this was the one opportunity we've been very complimentary of Ben Johnson and him staying really dedicated to the run game. This was the one game where, you know, and I don't know what the game plan, I don't know what the looks are, I don't know any of that stuff where it's, you know, we've just watched this on television for the first time, but this was the one where I was like, maybe could have had a few more designed runs by the end of the game. And I know it's a little bit skewed because the Bears had to throw the ball a lot at the very end. Mm-hmm. But Caleb Williams throws the ball 42 times, and there are only 17 runs between DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manunga. Neither guy had 10 carries, and both guys were running the ball pretty well. You know, DeAndre Swift, he had the long of 22, which pushes it up. But DeAndre Swift had some solid runs. He had the 22 yarder. Kamanon guy had an 18 yarder. So these guys had chunk plays. They had chunk plays, but only 17 carries between the two of them. Neither of them hit 10. That's the only, again, this is nitpicky stuff. This is nitpicky stuff. But hey, when you're playing for, when you're playing for a one seed, expectations get raised. When you win double digit games and you've locked up a playoff berth, expectations get raised. So we get a little bit more nitpicky.
Yeah, I think that I agree with you. they definitely could have run the ball or tried to run the ball more to see if they could have stressed the defense. That's something that they will have to look at, you know what I'm saying, as far as watching the tape. And I have to see again, depending on the situation. Because there were some times where it was situational running where it wasn't consistently like they were beating them. There were some series that they were able to do that. But there were also times where the 49ers were in the backfield and stopped them too. But again, it doesn't mean, and we talked about this, that you abandon the run. Because, I mean, again, when you're talking about clock, maintaining the clock and what you need to do to keep that offense, one, off the damn field, what they were able to do to you, it would have been interesting if you had at least seven more rushing attempts. But like again, the latter end, you weren't going to be able to do that because you were just trying to score. But we'll see.
I'm curious. Before we turn the page to defense, what are your thoughts on the hook and ladder? We haven't talked about the hook and ladder of it all. Which, if it works, genius, unbelievable headlines everywhere. Can you believe the hook and ladder? But it in the end kind of doomed them. I'm curious your thoughts on that play right there in that situation.
I've been seeing it so often lately, the last 2 months. Not to say they don't do it anyway, but like you can tell like with the NFL and these last second type of maneuvers. I feel like I've seen it 3 times in the last week and a half, perhaps. And this is just facts. I'm not even lying. That to your point, taking more time off the clock then. And with what you could have been able to do, I think you have to go for it just in case. But my point to that is teams, and I'd say teams aren't prepared for it anyway, but I think teams are more prepared for it because we've seen it in these last second games. Like, I really think that's the third time I've seen it within 2 weeks, right? And again, the other times they got more yards than that.
I mean that, you know, the 49ers, to your credit, were very disciplined, or to your point, were very disciplined. They were there, they were all over it. I mean, DeAndre Swift had like 3 guys to beat, and you know, they didn't have any more room. They're like, you're not crossing the goal line, because what it did is that turned it into a one play left in this game scenario, where if they're taking shots at the end zone, now you got a few shots at the end zone, right? They probably could have taken a handful of throws, but since they're stopped short there, it necessarily makes it, hey, just one play left. So, I mean, it's another example of like Ben Johnson really rolling the dice, because if you get it, great, amazing, like awesome. But if you don't, you're down to one play.
I'll say this. I'll give him props on this, and I'll use an earlier game for this. What do they say when you're on the road? Win the game, right? Go for it on the road. And I don't know if you saw the Bills game from earlier today.
Where they went for two.
Yeah, exactly. The Bills were at home, and it was 12 to 13, right? And they sat there. And they went for two instead of tying at home when the momentum was going their way. They hadn't scored. And for anybody that had watched, it was 0-13 for majority for the last quarter or whatever the game, right? And they sat there and went for it when they could have kicked the field goal and went into overtime at home. We know Bills Mafia and how, you know, they get amped up. And again, I'm not saying you always have to do this, but to what we're taught and what we're told, you're at home. So again, with the hook and ladder with the Bears, they're on the road. Let's get this and get out of here. But like I said, I guess the reason you brought it up, you're not catching anybody with that off guard right now during the season. You need to be like on the first couple of teams to do it during the season to really get away with it. But I think that was a great point that you hit with bringing that up, because those little things do matter. You know what I'm saying? They end up costing you, like you said, two more opportunities to perhaps throw into the end zone compared to just one, right? If not, like you said, could have been perhaps three. I don't know, man. Like, this was – it's not deflating at all because how well the offense was able to stay within the game. We're not going. They're too good for moral victories at this point. It would have been nice for them to beat the 49ers with a chance to have the bye week if Seattle lost to the 49ers next week. Mm-hmm. That right there with the Bears, even though I'll be honest with you, I don't even know if the Bears need a bye because they kind of need to keep matriculating to a degree, even though health-wise it could have helped them. I mean, clearly, health-wise, Burden, we just mentioned, could be out. Rome is still out.
They're all sick, man. Just let them sleep on the couch and drink OJ for a week. Come on.
Right, right. So, but yeah, man. That one right there. That one.
Got away.
And again, the 49ers and the Bears, like historically, these type of situations. And I mean, in a good way, it's good that the 49ers have been good, but the Bears are good enough to kind of chase them down and almost pulled it off, but they weren't able to pull. It was kind of similar to the Green Bay game, except it wasn't a turnover at the end of the game that cost them. It was just their inability to score.
All right, now that we're
talking to the Green Bay at home game, go ahead.
Yeah. No, now that we're kind of talking about this, I have another wild and wacky question for you. Go ahead. Kenneth Davis, what would you prefer? The Bears win next week, lock up the 2 seed, and host the Green Bay Packers at Soldier Field in the wild card round, or the Bears lose, the Eagles win. The Bears now fall to 3, and based on all of the crazy stuff in the NFC West, because that 6 seed could be 3 different NFC West teams, the Bears are now hosting the San Francisco 49ers again for a rematch.
I would definitely say Bears, we talked about this. Bears, Packers. Even though the problem is the pressure. Like, if the Bears could just get, look, also, okay, I'll say that part. I'll get to that part yet. Bears, Packers, because I don't think the Packers can score the ball on the Bears like San Francisco can. Like, they can't. Like, Love isn't Brock Purdy at this point. And Jacobs definitely isn't. And Jacobs is a hell of a running back, but he's definitely not Christian McCaffrey. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that also reminds you, George Kittle maybe has a chance to be out there. And I know it probably won't be the coming weeks, but Fred Warner doing media hinted that maybe he could return during the playoffs, right? So I would say, with knowing what a beat up, even to a degree, no, not even a degree,
beat up Niners team,
beat up worse than Micah Parsons being out, because Bosa's out and Fred Warner's out, yep. Right?
Yep.
So, and you mentioned the Nickelback's out. So a beat up when we're talking about that defense, and they were still stout versus the run. You know what I'm saying? Compared to getting one of those guys back. And I mean, that would be, I mean, on Fred Warner perhaps, but also George Kittle. I think with knowing what they could do, they put up, dog, look at the what they scored. You know what I'm saying? Like,
a lot of points.
Yeah. And I mean, now they've seen them up close, and that can help both teams. But I would say probably a team where the Bears versus the Pack would probably be the way I would lean towards. What about you?
Yeah, I think the Packers as well. And this is a deadly game people play, saying, "Oh, who would I as a fan rather my team face?" Oh man, when you start playing that game, it typically ends in despair. It typically ends in despair.
They could lose to both teams. Look, they could lose to both absolutely. Teams. Like, this isn't. Yeah, this isn't. It's not. They're not incapable. I mean, they almost lost the second game to Green Bay, and that's with the backup quarterback in there. We talked about the bonus of having a backup quarterback who's been victorious within the league, particularly as a Packer, how it's benefited them when the team hadn't planned to play against him, mm-hmm. a super sub. But they look, I'll tell you this too, to be honest with you. Guess what? The shoulders are fixed in Philadelphia. All right. Like, I don't know if you saw Jalen Carter, right? But the shoulders are shouldering. Now, offensively, I don't know what they're going to do. But, man, they was laying some, like, Cooper DeJean, I don't know if you saw the
missed it.
So they had a fumble, right? And Cooper DeJean pushes it. They hit what ended up happening. Cook got hit low, the running back, and the ball came out. And another one of the offensive players was going for the ball, and Cooper DeJean pushed him out the club, right? I can't remember if Cooper picked it up, but he pushed it. He was so smart he pushed the guy away from the ball or whatever. But point still being, Jalen Carter was doing – the defensive tackles were doing their thing, all right? And Jalen Phillips, like, if it wasn't wet outside, he probably would have had two sacks on Josh Allen alone. But, like, they physically – and what we talked about as far as what the Bears were doing, and I'm saying the Bears couldn't, but like it seems like the physicality in Philadelphia is back.
And you know they're gonna wanna
they're gonna want revenge. They're gonna want, particularly being out physical at home.
Right.
So again, like but I'll say this, with the Bears being able to put up 38 points on San Francisco, look, there's a chance they could definitely outscore Philly because Philly can't score the damn ball at this point, right? Like, everything that they had last year going isn't going for them now. But again, we're just pointing out some of the teams the Bears could face in the playoffs. Definitely those NFC West teams. Definitely Philadelphia. I'm not worried about Carolina if Carolina's in there. And again, this could just be me. Carolina could do something. I could be sitting here looking like the goofiest goofy in the city. But
I feel like, man! Carolina's beaten the Bears before as monster underdogs in the playoffs. Didn't Jake Delhomme have some crazy?
They weren't underdogs. They weren't underdogs. That team, because that team ended up making it. They didn't make it to the Super Bowl. They must at least made it to the. Wait, did they make it to the Super Bowl?
They were both 11-5. The Panthers won 29-21.
Yeah, but you're talking about that was with Moosen and Steve Smith. And Jake Delhomme, that was like Jake Delhomme's best season, if not one of his top three seasons. And they either went deep. I think they went deep. They may have went to the NFC Championship game, but they were the better team at that point because of what they can do on offense. I mean, you had Luke Kuechly and Davis at the linebacker positions back then. Wait, wasn't Julius Peppers on the damn defensive line at that point? Like,
I'm looking at the full box score. Steve Smith had a day. Muhammad did not. Chris Harris led the team with 11 tackles. Lance Briggs, second with Chris 9. Harris,
what position did Chris Harris
play? I am not seeing Julius Peppers.
Okay.
Oh, Julius Peppers was a Panther.
That's what you're saying.
He was on the pop. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I'm saying they had Julius Peppers Luke Kuechly on their defense. Not the Bears. No. I'm saying when you're saying the Bears were a favorite, I'm pointing out to you Panthers
were Luke Kuechly. This is way. Yeah. This is before Luke Kuechly.
On the Panthers?
Yeah.
Who's the Panthers linebackers on this team?
Man, I wouldn't be able to tell you. Mike Minter?
What year is that?
Mike Minter was a free safety.
What year is it?
I can't see the year where I'm at. I can figure it out in a second. It was the 2005 season. So it was 1 year before the Bears went to the Super Bowl.
All right, hold on.
So before you start saying I'm not afraid of the Carolina Panthers, this was a year in which the Bears were the 2 seed. They had a bye because the number one and the number 2 seed each had the bye. And the upset
is I'm confused.
Carolina Panthers, you know, I'm the confusing. Number 5 Carolina Panthers upset the New York Giants, and then they upset the Chicago Bears. And then
I'm telling you, it wasn't an upset, is what I'm trying to tell you. They had Dan Morgan as their middle linebacker.
5 seed over the 2 seed is an upset?
No, look. Because, okay, this is the thing. You're talking about so this is the problem with younger Bears fans. Offensively, you have to remember, all right, the year that they went to the Super Bowl, yes. you had Rex Grossman, right? Mm-hmm. And Rex got hot. Nobody knew that. So think about it. The year before, the offense, that was actually – that may have been the year where Orton had to play as a rookie with no reps in the preseason, right? So remember, Orton, who was supposed to be a Heisman candidate, but got hurt his last year at Purdue, got drafted later than what he would have been if he wasn't hurt. And Orton didn't get any reps, and Rex gets hurt during the preseason, and Orton has to play, and the offense isn't right because you have a rookie who had no reps playing. Point being, how the offense looked, you didn't expect what the Bears did the following year where Rex was hot for them to be able to do that. And mind you, I was an Orton guy, even though
10-5 as a rookie starter.
No, I agree. But see, this is the context is what matters when you're doing the face. The context is the offense still wasn't good enough.
You're right.
So, because like,
Rex,
for instance,
Grossman came in right at the end of the year. And the Bears so, maybe win instance, the Super Bowl if Kyle Howard still plays. Who knows? I don't know. Not me.
But remember this. Like, Brian Urlacher and them were upset over the trade for Cutler because they felt Orton had got to the point where he could hit some big plays but manage the game.
Right.
And that's how good the defense was. Right? Like, they were just like,
don't lose the game for us, man.
No, but he can also make some like plays. You saw that when he got to Buffalo. Like, Orton can make some plays, but he was like one of those guys where it's like, yo, I can keep you in the game, and then I can make some plays too, right? Point still being why getting to that team with the Carolina Panthers then, and I didn't see who the running back was. I wanted to see that part too. Sure. Who the damn
look at us,
the running back was. They had Steve, they had Deshaun Foster. No, they had Deshaun Foster and Steven Davis at running back, right? So my point was their offense was really good, is what I'm trying to say. This is where Steve Smith is coming on and making his pull into, like, he didn't make it to the top three with Boston Owens at this point, but he's heading towards it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, he's starting to go there. Moosen was the guy, and I can't remember who the tight end was there, but Moosen was the guy. But you were sitting there, who are the tight ends on this team?
Moosen Muhammad was a Bear at this point.
Moosen
Muhammad was a Bear at this point.
So we have Ricky Pro as the opposite. All right. As I'm just watching.
Chris Collinsworth is like, hey, can we talk about the 2025?
I'm Bears sorry. Yeah, 2025? We got off.
That's on me.
Bears.
Full accountability, coach. That's on me.
All right.
Bring up Jake Delhomme again.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
So anyway. Defensively, I got to get your thoughts on the defense today. Your guy, first of all, Austin Booker, we'll 94. Get to you later. Yeah. 94. All right. 2 deflections and a sack. Some pressures.
Got the showing. Hit that led to the incompletion. Big third down with the QB hit.
Yes, dude. Austin Booker was a game wrecker, was the only game wrecker out there defensively, basically today. So shout out to the second year player who's been injured this year, finally kind of getting his feet under him and having a game against the 49ers, even though Trent Williams was out. It'd have been interesting if it was Trent Williams out there, but hey, you got to play against who you're playing. Hey, take advantage of being out there against Pleasant, right? And make it unpleasant for Pleasant. But outside of that, man, defense, man, you had, and I hate saying it because he's a player that have an affinity for. But you had an aging Billings out there, aging as far as not cleaning up some plays. You had a costly penalty with C.J. Gardner-Johnson that cost you. You had one with Dexter Sr. with the face, the hand in the face mask.
Two hands in the face that were just brutal.
You had a couple of Kevin Byard in open field issues. And not to say that can't happen.
A lot of Nashawn Wright bust and not a lot of Nashawn Wright boom. The roller coaster ride for Nashawn Wright was a lot of free falls today.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason why I'm bringing this up is we've talked a lot about maintaining some of these players, and there's going to have to be a happy mixture of who you're keeping with hoping you know what they're going to be next year and who you may be letting go because you're looking at you may be able to improve with youth or pro personnel next year, because this defense is really, and you enlightened about it earlier, they were the reason that they were here, but it's really holding them back. One is the front seven, and it's the front four down linemen, because the linebackers are doing a good job. I don't mean to take a shot at the linebackers, but it's the four down linemen, and then it's the injuries in the backfield and not knowing how Father Time may play a part in that backfield in the near future, but also how some guys' injuries may keep going down the line. You know, like you look at Kyler mm-hmm. Gordon being out majority of this season. You know what I'm saying? Now he's under contract.
A lot of time last season. I'm missing a lot of time.
And also remind you, this is not the program that gave him that contract. Poles may have given him that contract.
I think he did get the contract after Ben Johnson was hired.
Yeah. Okay. So my point being, Ben Johnson said to a degree, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't really know the guy. All right. If you get what I'm trying to say, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, coming in, we're looking at, he is one of the up and coming nickel cornerbacks in the league, right? Getting to know the guy. I don't know the guy. All right. So if you read between the lines, right, is what I'm trying to say. He hasn't been around on the field enough to really know the guy, right? But I think there's some questions. I mean, there are clearly questions. And this is one thing I wrote down. You're definitely going to have to draft for that defensive line, but you're going to have to bring in two vets for it too. Like, you're going to have to really throw, because you don't know who's going to get hurt. You're going to have to really throw a lot. You're going to have to overcompensate for that D-line. Because now let's be this, the window's open now, right? The window is like you, the window's open, right?
Window's open.
The window's open.
Here you are.
The window is flung open with two nails that who knows when those bad boys may flip off of it. But looking at what they could have done tonight against the 49ers, the window is wide open. All right, like if Caleb just takes a step next year, oh my God, the window's open. I'm just saying another step, but like if the defense takes a step and the offense in itself and the line is healthy, I mean, the Bears are one of the better teams when you're talking about NFC, because one, they're not a finesse team, they're a physical team, but I guess that's the one of the positives of tonight, the window. To the window, to the wall is wide open at this point, Alex.
It is. I want to touch more on the defensive line because I agree. It just feels like they need to draft and tackle, and tackle, and end tackle. You know, that's right. Just feels like the vibes right now. Because you look on offense and you feel real good. You feel so good. Kyle Manungai looks great. DeAndre Swift, absolutely fine. Offensive line looking solid. Ozzie Trapillo quietly turning into a left tackle you don't talk about. He had the one holding. But other than that, you don't say Ozzie Trapillo's name very often, which is kind of exactly what you want out of a left tackle. Don't say his name very often.
Right.
Luther Burden coming out party. Colson Loveland, coming out party. Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson. We feel very good about the offense. So, as you said, invest in the defense. But then it's like, dang, they already kind of invested in Dio Odengbo. And I think that is maybe an underrated shame about how the second half of this season has gone. That we haven't talked about much since it happened, but Dio Odengbo got hurt in that Bengals game, got hurt, you know, early November, right? That was early November. And the defense has like started to come along. It's played well, but you know, they've come along. They've had these growth moments, even though this game was kind of fell apart, where it would just be really interesting to see, hey, how is Dio Odengbo playing at this point in the season? Because this team is so much different from where they were 2 months ago. This team is so much different from where they were at the beginning of the year. I mean, it's like completely different, right? For me, I think the way we talked about this team really changed during that Eagles game, right? Because it was like, okay, this team's no joke now. That's a legit win against a legit team. And and things kind of like took off from there. If we could see how Dio Odengbo was performing in these moments, it's like a missing. And we talk about it.
I'm a Dio guy from the early season, but yeah. I thought the first couple of games he flashed and set an edge and pressures, not sacks. But I don't think it would have. It would have been better, but it wouldn't have been the type of difference maker to where the questions, sure, as far as what the pressure needed for them to generate would have been there. I don't think that would have happened.
But we would know kind of what I'm driving at is it's like the incomplete grade. It almost gives them an out to not really invest, be like, oh, well, Dio's coming back.
Okay. But okay. And I'll push back on that because of this. We just said they need two veterans. So even hypothetically, they try to spin it, we're getting Dio back. We're already saying you need another guy, right? And I don't mean, when I say, I mean, you need a guy that used to have a track record and maybe he's older now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to, one of those guys, if not both of them, have to be former all pros, not a guy that we're looking at coming on that fell, that like Dio, where it's like, well, maybe we're getting him when he's transitioning up. No. You need guys that, hey, you know what, you two? I'm only going to use you for like 20 snaps, basically, in this bad boy, right? Definitely passing downs or whatever. And like you say, you need a young DT and also Booker's out there now. You know what I'm saying? But you need, you have to have tons of, you have to have, one thing to remember we used to always talk about with like, where how many layers, waves they have. And we'd be like, they don't have one wave. Like,
they need two waves. They don't even have half a wave.
They don't have half a wave. They don't have half a wave, dog. Like, it's got like a little trickle, right? Like, dog, a bubbling brook. There's no waves out there, right? So, like, you have to, dog, you have to go hard with the pressure that you have to have coming in for next year, because those guys are gonna get hurt. You already know they're gonna get hurt, and they can't be an excuse. You'd be like, you know what? We got two the guys that aren't number one anymore, but they're gonna be Hall of Fame jackets, but not in the Bears uniform. You need to
You need more Kevin Byards.
Yes,
they hit with Kevin Byard. They nailed it with Kevin Byard. They got to do that again.
I like that one. That's the way that I'm trying to say. Like, you need guys. You know, I don't know if it's Trey and another crazy vet, and those rookies, because you need two defensive line high round rookies within the first four rounds. But you got to do that, because now that's what this team is asking for. And the old stuff, like, well, Dio's coming back. No, this, because the window has never been open like this. Like, you can't. This isn't a Dio open window. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the window I'm talking about. That's a try hard. Like, maybe. No, this is a window, all right? Like, this is ceiling to floor in this bad boy, right? And, like, this is nice, right? you flip the switch and you're outside. That's the type of window this is. All right. But anyway, anything else before we get? You got any game balls today?
No, they lost.
I definitely want to give Austin Booker a game ball. I want to give Austin Booker. That was a nice game again. It wasn't Trent Williams, but you did what you had to do. I want to give Austin Booker definitely a game ball. And I'm going to give Burton one, too.
You're generous.
Well, dog, they put up 38 points.
L. No game balls.
Okay. L. I like that. Any extra points?
Yeah. I have an extra point. So this is probably the last podcast we're going to have of 2025. And in the spirit of like a Spotify Wrapped or an Apple, whatever Apple does, I just wanted to share two albums that I was obsessed with this year. My albums of the year that I had on repeat all year long. For anyone who is looking for some new music or whatever heading into 2026, one, Moisturizer by Wet Leg, phenomenal band. That was kind of cynical, sardonic in their debut album, and their sophomore album was like, what happens when that cynical, sardonic band, that lead singer, falls deeply, sincerely in love and is dealing with, oh my God, I'm deeply in love and it's completely changing my worldview. Really great music, really fun, really great stuff. Second, opposite end of the spectrum, Who Let the Dogs Out by the Lambrini Girls. And I think they mean it in the sense that the Baja men, like the secret meaning of Who Let the Dogs Out, right? For those who don't know, I think word on the street is Who Let the Dogs Out is like about, hey, who let ugly women into the club? Kind of a nasty, awful message. I'm pretty sure Who Let the Dogs Out is about like who let all these ugly women into the club. Do not condone that message. That also might not be true. That might be an urban legend that you hear on the playground. So it is in that sense of the phrase. Like, hey, we're ugly women and we got something to say. And boy, do these women got something to say. It is raw, visceral feeling, like punk rock. I'm not talking about pop punk. I'm not talking about the stuff you hear on the radio. You don't hear this on the radio.
You're talking about like some Sex Pistols or even worse than that.
Not even that. Yeah, like they're mad. They're mad and they got something to say. But the feeling, the emotion. And, you know, I'm listening. I'm like, hey, you know what? These gals got a lot of good points.
Give me an example of this type of punk rock.
One is all about... It's a song called Company Culture, and just about dealing with sexual harassment in workplace environments and how it's, you know, women are, even after the Me Too movement, it still sucks. Or Bad Apples is about cops who shoot people for no reason. And how come, like, these people only get justice posthumously, you know, and often don't get justice. I believe the line is it's not just bad apples. It's the whole effing tree. So stuff like that. They have a song all about gentrification, about like, yeah, you say this neighborhood's been gentrified, man, you ain't even been to my neighborhood ever before coming to declare that it's been gentrified. So like, you don't know my neighborhood. You're obviously not from around here. And they go on and on and on and on and on. And every song is a new little message, and I just feel their feelings. Oh my
God. How many albums have they had out so far? Is this
the debut album? Debut album.
All right. I will go with something I mentioned before. And I'll go with football. You don't have to always try to do what they tell you to do now. You can just go for the extra point. All right. And you can go into overtime at home. Like, the worst part for them going for two, and Josh Allen totally missed the receiver. And that happens, but you didn't have to put him in that situation. You could have just kick the damn extra point and went into OT. Sometimes with this newfangled sports, this isn't just the NFL thing. This is the having a bunny in basketball and throwing it out to the arc so someone can clank a damn three. No, you can just do the good old-fashioned thing and get to the next point and then continue to do that and stack those for victory. And I think sometimes – and it's cool when it works, but the point is it doesn't always work. And sometimes it's not the fundamentally sound thing to do, and it bit the Bills in the butt versus the Eagles today when they had an opportunity to definitely get a win, as that window doesn't look as open, particularly when you're talking about for Josh Allen and some of the better quarterbacks not making the playoffs, where there are guys now who are in the AFC that are the young guns coming in. So, yeah, Mahomes may be out. You know, you have a hurt Lamar Jackson. You know, you have Joe Burrow out. But you have Drake May. We have to see what he does next year. You have a young Bo Nix, you know, and you have Trevor Lawrence looking like he's maybe taking a step with a new coach down there. But, yeah, that was mine for today. We'll be back to preview the final game. I was in Detroit. Wasn't in Detroit. I was in Ann Arbor for a funeral. I guess that's the last, my extra point. My cousin passed, my cousin Willie, and he was one of my closest friends. And he would be talking to me about the Bears right now. And while I was in Ann Arbor, I saw a lion stuff, and I wanted to talk so much trash. But part of me wasn't in it because I was there for my cousin. I was there to really be sound for my family members. But leaving the day, I saw this guy with this Lions hoodie. And I'm just like, go Bears. And I was just like, you know what? I'm enjoying myself too much with what my Bears are doing to waste my time arguing, even though I'm sure we would have got to a good discussion about what's wrong with the Lions or whatever. But I definitely want to dedicate this to my cousin who loved the Bears in Lions country and would have been so excited. And I will miss him deeply as I learn how to live without being able to talk to him. So, Willie, thank you for being awesome and giving me a great 45 years of your life. We'll be back this week to preview the aforementioned Lions versus the Bears this week. And then we'll be back to do the post-game show as we enter into the playoffs here on the Windy City Podcast, presented by FanSided. We will see you later on this week.
Hey, hockey fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.